Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, now is the time to call. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Basic Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob.
I just slipped right out there.
Well, we're going to go straight to our phone lines today and talk with Fred in Stanford, Connecticut. Hi, Fred.
Good afternoon. I wanted to ask you, is there any chance the Antichrist could come out of Syria?
Well, Fred, I'm assuming there's all types of possibilities. You know, Syria is certainly in the news, and Syria has certainly been a enemy of Israel and the Jewish people for a long, long time. You know, we don't know, Fred. I mean, we really don't know.
Okay. I had heard a preacher talking about that, and he was trying to pinpoint that out of Daniel, the king of the north, and he came up with Syria. I was just double-checking that.
Yeah, Fred, there's, you know, that's all speculation and conjecture as far as trying to identify somebody, to finger somebody as the person or where exactly they're gonna come from. You know, I always heard growing up that it was going to be a Jewish person, and boy, any time somebody gained some prominence, you know, there was always the question: could that be the guy? Could that be the guy? And I think, Fred, what we're doing is looking for the wrong person. We spend a lot of time in our prophecy conversations, in our end-time conversations, discussing Antichrist, discussing who that might be and where that person might come from. But that's not the point of the Word of God. The Word of God says that we should be looking for Christ, for Jesus the Christ, the one who died and is now alive, the one who provided purification for our sins and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's the one that's coming back that's of interest. He's the one that we need to be looking for. And even the lost world is going to be looking for him. And they're not going to necessarily be looking for him in anticipation or wanting him to come. But they're going to recognize him when he gets here. And their fate is going to be sealed by his final judgment. He's the guy. Jesus is the guy. So our focus needs to be pointed toward him and anticipate his coming and let him figure out all the Antichrist stuff. But one other point, Fred, to make, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. It's been in the world since the very beginning when Satan entered into this world and deceived Adam and Eve. And so the truth has been twisted. Satan's intent is to kill, steal, and destroy. That is the spirit of Antichrist, and that spirit will embody a person at the end, and the world will follow him. But we as believers need to be looking for Jesus.
Oh, yes, very good point.
Well, Fred, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'd love to send you this booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, Fred.
And, Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to have a copy, it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and you can simply go online to basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. It'll tell you all about the booklet. Or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. That number, 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828 for Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, yes, indeed. And we certainly need your help at this time of the year. We have about $250,000 that we need between now and the end of the year. We would love to have, you know, 1,000 people, 2,000 people step up to the table and help with a gift of any amount, $10, $50. And I know, Bob, at the end of the broadcast today, you're going to have some more information about our financial need. But we really want to start 2014 on a very positive note. And to have a strong push at the end of the year will help make that a reality. Yeah. So if this ministry has touched your life in a specific way, if you've been ministered to, reconnected to the love of Jesus Christ, have learned that your sins have been totally forgiven, you've gained assurance of salvation because of what you've heard through this broadcast, would you stand in partnership with us so that others can hear that same news? And like I said, a gift of any amount will be significant as far as this work is concerned.
Yeah.
So do so today. We need to hear from you today, or at least before December 31st.
While we're talking about it, while it's fresh on your mind, would be a good time to go online to basicgospel.net, make your gift, request your copy of Forgiveness, the Door to Life, or to speak with our operator again at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, Bob, we have some open lines at 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. Come on in, be a part of today's broadcast. We would certainly love to hear from you. Well, let's go down to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and talk to Boyce listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Boyce.
How you doing, big man?
We're doing well. There's that voice. Love that voice.
Yes. Hey, bud. I was listening to a CD last night, and they were talking about the harvest and going out and going out into the streets in the United States and ministering the word and all. And, you know, I've been trying to get my ministry going here in Ocean Springs, and I mean, we go out overseas and all, and we minister to the sinners and the backsliders and all, you know, overseas. And, I mean, the Lord knows we need that. I mean, it's a God blessing that we do that. But a lot of people forget about the people we have in the United States.
Well, it's interesting.
And there's a lot of... Pardon?
Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of people that need the help and need the word here in the United States. And there's a lot of people out there that won't go out into the bushes, won't go out into the under the bridges and help them people. There's a lot of people that won't go door to door. And there's a lot of people here in the United States that need that.
Well, Boyce, here's a couple of points to add to your conversation. The Word of God has declared all believers to be ministers of reconciliation and ministers of this new covenant. That's the label that's been attached to us. And so wherever we go in life, we have opportunity to minister reconciliation and minister life into others' lives. That's just the wonderful privilege and opportunity that we have. And we really don't need to go looking for those ministry opportunities. If we would just open our eyes, and I think that's the point of that passage in the Gospels as far as the fields being white for harvest. If we would just open our eyes, we would see the great needs around us. We would never have to really go outside of, you know, a small sphere of influence, and we would have ministry opportunity after ministry opportunity. And you're right, we have this incredible field here to go out into, to be a part of. You know, it's interesting, Boyce, that, you know, years ago, missionaries were being raised up here to go into other parts of the world. Now there are people in China and groups in China that are raising up missionaries to be sent to the United States of America. Why? Because they see this as a very fertile ground for mission work, for evangelistic work. They see the spiritual needs that this country has, and they want to come over here and be a part of what God is going to be doing to help meet those needs in Christ Jesus. But Boyce, I sure appreciate your heart and what God is doing through you. You know, you just keep taking it one day at a time. Keep making yourself available, and you will see God continuing to do his work, reaching people that you never dreamed that you could ever reach. God is just that kind of God. And so as you keep doing your work, you're going to find others that want to come alongside you and help and be a part. And, you know, it's just gonna keep going out, like in those concentric circles. So you can count on that to be the fact, okay?
Yeah, and I'd also like to ask that the food kitchens, the shelters, places like that that need the volunteers to come in for Christmas and help them to help the needy, help the poor, to serve, to, you know, do cleanup.
There's all kinds of opportunities out there. And like I said, if we'll just look around and take a little initiative, we can really be involved. And I think that's where so many believers don't want to get out of their comfort zones. They like convenience. Right. They don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, when you take that step, when you take a little initiative, you see things and experience things that you never dreamed possible. And I'm talking about very positive things as far as really kind of expressing this gospel message in very tangible ways to people who need to hear the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Boyce, as always, it's great to hear from you.
All right, Boyce. Love you guys, and God bless.
Hey, thanks. You too, Boyce, and keep on telling the good news.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yes, indeed.
Well, plenty of time on the clock, friends. Open lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. A great opportunity because if you call now, you will be first in line to speak with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper here at Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, guys, a question from April, who writes to us from Napa, California, concerning 1 John 1:9. She says, my question is that I've heard this passage, 1 John 1:9, is not for the saints, but for sinners. But how can this verse be for sinners if we confess our sins? I believe that this verse applies to the saint. What do you say?
Well, a lot of people hold that opinion. I think context, again, will tell a different story. Especially the immediate context of verses 8 and 10. And we'll spend a few minutes on this because it's a very important passage to really gain some understanding over, because this is the one passage that most people cling to as far as forgiveness is concerned. This is the one they've memorized, and so when they sin, they implement 1 John 1:9. They almost use it as a bar of soap. That's what it's been called, a spiritual bar of soap, a Christian bar of soap. So we just scrub those sins away and that guilt away by applying this verse. And here's what it says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, that verse is right in between verses 8 and 10. Verses 8 says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, somebody who claims to be without sin, who is deceiving themselves and who does not have the truth in them, is that person a believer or an unbeliever? Is that person lost or saved? I think it's very clear from the entire Word of God that a person who is claiming to be without sin, that person who does not have truth in them is not a believer in Christ Jesus. That's a lost person. Well, what's John's answer to that lost person? Well, if you will confess your sins, agree with God that you have sinned, then you can count on his faithfulness because he's already done something in Christ to forgive those sins. It's very clear, and I think the logic holds up. And then he goes on to say, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So I don't know of any Christian who is claiming to be without sin. I haven't met that person. I have met some lost people who claim to be without sin. It's like, why are you lying? Why are you deceiving yourselves? What are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid if I admit that I'm a sinner, that I'll be lost forever, that there will be no hope. So I'm just pretending that I'm okay and that everybody else is okay. And if God exists, then he's okay with that as well. But if you'll just go ahead and be truthful and be honest about what's really going on inside, then you will tap into the faithfulness of God and the fact that he's just and that he has forgiven us in Christ. That's the good news of this particular passage. So we believe here that 1 John 1:9 is directly pointed and directed toward the lost. In chapter 2, he changes his position a little bit. My children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. So in the first chapter, he's giving this kind of broad editorial we. And then in the second chapter, he sends a message directly to the children of God. And he says, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who turned aside the wrath of God, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. So in Christ, we already have forgiveness. That's why John goes on to say in verse 12 of chapter 2, my little children, I write this to you because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That's good news, isn't it?
Sure is. Yep, absolutely.
So I hope that helps. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Joe listening to us in Eugene, Oregon. Hi, Joe.
How are you, sir? It's the first time I've heard you. Like I told your call screener there, I think I've been listening to you for the last 15, 20 minutes.
Well, great. Joe, glad you've tuned in.
Yeah, first time. Number one, I want to appreciate your theology. Sounds clear to me. I had a question or two, but as you were going, I was listening to you, and again, I've met so many people, so many folks who want to hold on to their own salvation, and they contend, and I deal with New Agers and all that stuff, and they'll say, I am God. I'll say, okay. But see, this is where the New Age comes in, and it's deception.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you already know what I'm talking about. Here's my question, my friend. Jesus said, I've done nothing in secret when the Pharisees came up. And there's another place where he said, you are like whitewashed tombs, and inside you are dead men's bones. And then you look back in the Old Testament where... oh, gosh, Isaiah talked about it, and other prophets, but the priests would go and actually offer to foreign gods, okay? And they would take pieces of the offering and the meat and keep it for themselves and then offer it to the foreign gods. In the sense, it was a secret kind of concept, but at the same time, in the daylight, they would come out and they would proclaim to be the followers of Yahweh, Elohim Adonai. My question to you is, do you see the politicians of this day and age doing the same thing? And if Jesus was alive today, do you think that he would walk into the White House, into the UN, and say to them, you are like dead men's bones, and outside you're like whitewashed tombs, but inside you have dead men's bones? That would be my question. Do you believe today he would say the same thing to the rulers of this world that we live in?
Well, Joe, here's how I'll answer that. If the Father...
I'll listen to it off the air.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We sure appreciate you hopping on today, and thanks for being a first-time listener. Interesting question that Joe asked. As far as Jesus, you know, when he was alive physically, you know, before he was buried and... you know, crucified, dead, and then buried, and then raised back to life, and now seated at the right hand of God the Father. But when he walked the earth, he said he only did as his Father told him to do. He only said things that his Father told him to say. So when he looked at the Pharisees and said, you're whitewashed tombs, you're clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside, or just filled with dead bones, he said that because God the Father told him to say it. And the reason God the Father told them to say it is because that was true. Those people were living in a self-righteousness. That's what Paul said. They did not understand the righteousness of their own or of God, so they developed their own righteousness. That's what they were pursuing, that righteousness, that self-righteousness. And that's no righteousness at all. So Jesus looked at them and said what was true. And so if he came back today and he visited the White House and that was a true statement about those in the White House and God the Father told him to make that statement, guess what he would make? That statement.
Yes.
That's exactly what he would say. Our politicians, you know, that's a whole can of worms, isn't it? You know, never talk about politics or religion.
Well, the fact is that our world system, however it expresses itself, whether it's in economic terms or political terms or sociological terms, the world system is about doing things yourself, is about really shaking your fist in God's face and saying, I don't need you. To the extent that that is true, then that's what we see happening in our world today. And the reason Jesus said what he said, the reason the Father told him to say that, was not to kill them, to destroy them, to send them to hell. He said those things to the Pharisees because he desperately wanted them to come to the truth. And so when we see what's going on in our world today, we've got to be careful not to just shake our fist at them and judge them, but to say, look, this is what happens in the world system. This is what happens when Satan has free reign in people's lives. My job isn't to judge them. My job is to bring them to Jesus. Point them to truth. Let them decide between them and God how truth is going to impact their lives. I had a pastor friend a long time ago who he used to chide me for being so judgmental, and he said, you know, Richard, God didn't put us on that committee. And that's true. The committee God put us on was the committee to bring people to Jesus and let Jesus deal with them the way they need to be dealt with.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, we certainly appreciate your question today. And again, thanks for being a first-time listener. We hope you will stay tuned in. And if you have other questions, feel free to pick up that phone.
Well, it was interesting to hear that Joe is a first-time listener on KORE, because that particular station and their manager, Larry Knight, has been a steadfast friend for all these years. I mean, that station joined us on June 3rd, 1985, and they've been here ever since. And so if Joe is listening, and I hope you are, I hope that since you are a first-time listener, there are probably friends in the area that you can share this message with and point them to the radio broadcast on KORE as well.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, I know you have some information about our financial need and want to give you the time to really express that. And listeners, please pay attention to what Bob is going to be saying. We certainly need your help. We need it now.
We need to keep the fact in front of you that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. And if what you're hearing every day on this program is benefiting you, we need your help to keep the message coming, the message that God loves you and wants you to know the freedom and life that is yours in Jesus Christ and how it impacts your life every day. That's why we are here every day, but it requires financial support to keep the message coming. That's why we offer resources like the Forgiveness Booklet. Now, here's the fact, friends. We need to see an additional donation amount of around $250,000 by the end of this month. We know that there are many of you in our daily audience who are able right now to step up with a gift of $250 and never even miss it. If out of the tens of thousands of you who listen to this broadcast, if only a thousand of you can make that gift of $250, that will meet our need. Or if 250 of you can make a gift of $1,000 today, and that's not beyond your means for many of you, by the end of the month, why, our need will be met. Will you be one of those with a gift of $1,000 or $250? We need that kind of support from you right now. We also know that every gift, no matter what size, helps and makes a difference. So please, friends, join with us with a special Christmas time gift today if you can. Give what you can to see God multiply your gift. Whatever you can do, we need you to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. And as a reminder, the booklet on Forgiveness, the Door to Life, that we've been talking about, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 right now if you can, while it's fresh on your mind. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, our website, basicgospel.net, for the booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. So now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.